Jeremiah chapter 17, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 17 in the Word of God. And when you get your place there in Jeremiah, go to Romans chapter 10, all right? Romans chapter 10, because we're going to be there pretty quickly. Going to begin in Jeremiah, go to Romans chapter 10, and then somewhere between those verses we'll preach, all right? We'll preach from there, all right? So, Jeremiah chapter 17, if you would, let's just begin reading in verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let me not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Now, I want you to go back to verse 15. Because I'm going to take the text from there, where, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. I want to preach to you on where is the word of the Lord. Where is the word of the Lord? The house of Israel had strayed from the Lord in the time of the prophet Jeremiah. They had gotten completely away from God. They had fallen into idolatry. They had departed from the old past that the Bible talks about. They had decided, if you will, that the heathen and the way of the heathen was to be desired over the way of the Lord. And God sent Jeremiah to preach to them and to speak to them, and now they're finding themselves really dissatisfied with the results of their new ways. The happiness, the satisfaction they had expected to find was not there. And, you know, I think about it today. It's amazing how folks today will forsake the best and turn to and embrace the worst. We see it all the time. I believe we see that same thing happening in our world today. I realize, yes, some people have some fun. They laugh a bit. They profess to be happy. But at the same time, suicide rates continue to climb. People don't commit suicide because they're happy and thrilled, all right? That doesn't take place. Everyone seems to be looking for the next thing to bring them satisfaction and to bring them to a new high, if you will. With that in mind, looking for people that have experienced long-term happiness and long-term satisfaction with their lives can be a tough thing to find. People that have just been satisfied for a long time, all right? Yet the same folks that are dissatisfied, the same folks that have forsaken the way of the Lord, those same folks will do what they did here in Jeremiah's day. They will mock the believer with the question, well, where is the word of the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord? Mockers today still ask that question. Now, I'll be honest, in our day, I think it's easy to see why people would ask that. And the reason I say that is because we live in a day when the word of God's been left out. It's been abandoned. It's been discarded. It's been discounted. It's been laid aside. It's been walked away from. And all of those things are true. Therefore, it's easy to see why people say, well, where is the word of the Lord? And by the way, the results are obvious. We leave the word of God. Look where we are, okay? Look where we are. I was reading today a book that I got just the other day. I saw that it had been published, and I found it, and I immediately ordered it, and I'm reading that book, and it's recounting the story, kind of comparing, contrasting two different preachers from back in the early to mid-19th century, or 20th century, excuse me, and talking about them and how they were received and how they were honored in the city in which they lived. Hey, when they died, the funeral was huge. They almost shut down the city. Can you imagine that happening today for a preacher? Man, we've departed from the Word of God. Well, where is the Word of God? Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach." You say, where is the Word of God? If you got a King James Bible, you got it in your hand. You've got it in your hand. Hey, there's still enough of that Word being preached to save the world if folks would believe. I believe that with all my heart. There's still enough of the Word of God being preached. Nothing is wrong with the Word. Nothing. It hasn't departed. It hasn't gone anywhere. Nothing's ever been wrong with the Word of the Lord, all right? And the Bible tells us the Word of the Lord is going to last forever. And the challenge for you and I is we need to make sure the world knows it. We need to make sure the world knows that Word, okay? That they're familiar with it, and they would not ask, and they would not come to us because they would know we have the answers to where is the Word of the Lord. The truth of the matter is where you put it. It's where you put it. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, number one, send the trash. Send the trash. Hey, there's a host of people in this world that they put the Word of the Lord in the trash. The unbeliever, the atheist, hey, the modernist in our day, even people that profess the name of Christ, claim Christianity as their faith, they're so modernistic in their beliefs that literally they might as well have taken the Bible and put it in the trash can, because that is not what is preached, that is not what's given out. But we live in a day where in many, many cases it's been disposed of. Can I just say to you, the legislators who vote for the things of this old world, who vote for same-sex marriage, they put the Word of God in the trash. They put it in the trash. Those who vote for abortion being legalized and okay to take the life of the unborn, they put it in the trash. All the ones that have stood in our day for this alternate gender confusion that's going on, and what have they done? Well, they put the Word of the Lord in the trash. Absolutely just trashed it, all right? I believe this. Don't believe it when they claim to be people of faith. Don't believe them when they claim to be people of faith. They're lying. They've taken the Word of God and put it in the garbage. They put it in the trash. That's where it is. If they're people of faith, it's sure not biblical faith. It is not faith in the outstanding and inspired and inerrant, infallible Word of God. It's faith in their own faith, but not in the Word of the Lord. Hey, that crowd's put it in the trash. But then I look at so many people in our day, they put it on the shelf. They've put it on the shelf. You can go to their home, and if you were to ask, they'd say, "Well, preacher, we got a Bible here. Let me find it. We'll find it." And they'll go find it. It'll be on the shelf somewhere. Now, in some cases, it may be buried, but it's there on the shelf. Just need a little time to find it. It's there. Multitudes of people today have their Bible, and it's on some shelf somewhere in their house. Can I say to you, that Bible doesn't bother the devil one bit. That Bible bothers the devil not one bit. If you've got it and you just put it on the shelf, and you're in a situation where somebody, they've just taken the Bible and put it on the shelf, and they, you know, okay, they get it down on Sunday morning and bring it to church, that Bible doesn't bother the devil. Doesn't do it whatsoever. You know what? That Bible never gets a person saved. It's just sitting on the shelf. Just sitting on the shelf. I think I told you a while back I was trying to do some straightening up and working on some stuff in our garage that still needs to be worked on. But I was working on some of that, going through some stuff, and I found a box. And I thought, what's this? Opened it up. It's a Bible. It's a Bible. Now, I hadn't forgot I had it. I just hadn't seen it in such a long time, all right? You know, there's a lot of people like that. That's the only Bible they've got. They got it a long time ago. They got it brand new. Still looks brand new. Still in the box. Still in the box. That Bible never get anybody saved. That Bible never get anybody saved. Hey, that Bible never gets anybody under conviction. Why? Well, it's just been stuck on the shelf somewhere. Just been stuck on the shelf. So where's the word of the Lord? Is it in the trash or is it on the shelf? Is it on the shelf? Now, that's where I believe the majority of Bibles in this world, that's where they are. I'll be honest, I believe that's where they are. Now, that's not where they ought to be. But I'm going to talk to you now about where it ought to be, okay? Where is the word of the Lord? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, all right? We could get up and we could sing this verse, all right? Joshua chapter 1, we'll read it together. I want you to look at it. Got to remember Joshua's before Judges, not after, all right? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law, this book of the law, hey, it ought to be in your head. It ought to be in your head, okay? And now I'm going to tell you this, it's your choice to get the Bible in your head. It's your choice. You can leave it on the shelf if you want to. Leave it on the shelf if you want to. I'm amazed today at the Bible illiteracy among people who claim to be Christians. I'm amazed. It disappoints me. Disappoints me to stand in school and preach the Bible and say, open your Bible to this book and see kids that can't find it. Yet, they're going to church. They're going to church. Somebody's not making the Bible very important. I remember as a junior boy, remember as a maybe 9-year-old boy, I remember carrying my Bible to church. I remember mom and dad, and they would say, carry your Bible to church. And I remember when I first started, it's just the New Testament, all right? Just the New Testament. Then I got a Bible. Sarah came up tonight. I was here on the front, and she came sneaking up, pokes me, then hides down under the pew, you know. So I had to look around. I thought for a minute, man, God is poking me. Turned out it was just Sarah. And so I looked, and she came around, and she said, is that a Scofield Bible? I said, it is. I said, I've been using one since I was 10 years old. Had a Scofield Bible. I can take you to my house. I can pull out the first Scofield Bible I ever got. It's not in real good shape, but I've still got it. I've hung on to it. And I remember taking that Bible to church, and I remember getting in Sunday school, and the teacher saying, all right, open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Man, we ought to still do that. Sunday school teachers, I hope you're doing that. I hope you're doing that. You ought to be doing it. I challenge you. If you got a Sunday school class, you ought to be telling your kids. Now, if you got a 2- and 3-year-old class, don't tell them to open the Bible. All right? Unless you've got one that has unrippable pages and that kind of thing. But, I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. You get to an age where they can begin to read. You ought to have them challenge them. Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Find some way to reward them if they bring their Bible. If you can't reward them to do it, get some thumb screws. Okay, I was kidding about that. Don't use them, all right, in Sunday school. But I mean, there ought to be something there. We ought to read your Bible, get your Bible, and bring it. And when I was teaching junior boys in Sunday school, hey, fellas, bring your Bibles, bring your Bibles. They'd bring their Bibles. I'd tell them, here we're going to this book. And that's the way you learn the books of the Bible, okay? You ought to know the books of the Bible. And I say, I'm so disappointed. See, people that don't know it, why? We don't have it here. We don't have it here. Hey, the Bible ought to be in your head. What a difference it can make in your life if you'll get it there, okay? If you'll get it there. If we would just get the Bible in our mind and then do as Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it. Meditate on it. We live in a day, boy, where people think very little. There's not much thinking that goes on. We let the TV think for us. We let the television, we let the news media, they do our thinking. God help you. Don't let them do your thinking for you. Amen. There was a time when there were news reporters. They're no longer news reporters. There are news twisters and news makers, but they're not news reporters, and they want to tell you what to think. Don't let them tell you how to think. Amen. Don't let them do that. Hey, if we get in the Word of God and get the Bible in our mind, and give us a verse or two and just chew on it during the day. Just chew on it during the day. And maybe a little passage of scripture there. And just every time you get that opportunity, chew on that verse a little bit. Meditate on it. Meditate on those verses. And let them get into you, all right? Man, we're to think a lot on the scriptures. Hey, one reason we get in so much trouble and we have so many problems is we don't think about the Word of God anymore. We don't think about what God's Word says. We act without giving consideration of what God said. Hey, where's the Word of the Lord? Well, it ought to be in your head. It ought to be in your head. Now, if you got any, you know, sense and you've been around me for a while, you know point number two. It ought to be in your heart. It ought to be in your heart. Psalmist made it real plain, Psalm 119, verse 11, when he said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Oh, that word ought to move from a head to a heart. What do you mean by that? Well, you remember when you first saw that person you're married to? First, they got in your eye, then they got in your mind. You begin to think about them, and then they got in your heart. They ought to do that with the Word of God. Or to do that with the Word of God. We're to let it get in our mind, and then we're to get this book in our heart, all right? It ought to do something to our heart. It ought to affect us. There ought to be an effect upon us because we believe the Word of God. We mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan and how of all the people... you had the man who got beat up, all right, the Jew that got beat up going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the first Jew came by, the priest, and he looked at him and just kept on going. The second Jew came by and looked at him and just kept on going. But it took a Samaritan to come by and do what should have been done. It took a Samaritan to come by. Listen, the Word of God ought to affect us to the point that we live our life so the way we live it. Why? Because of the Word of God we have in our heart. That book, man, it's the Word of the Lord that ought to be in there. It'll keep our hearts soft. It'll keep us from getting hard. It'll keep us from getting bitter. We've got that book right here. We've got it in our heart. Man, take that book, the Word of the Lord. Where is it? It's in my head, but I've moved it from there. It's not just there. It's here. It's here, and it affects my longings. It affects my desires. The Word of the Lord does that. Lord, to do it for you. Lord, affect everything about you, all right? It'll keep your heart soft. Keep it tender to the touch of God. That all God has to do is just nudge you. Say, okay, Lord, okay. Keep it that way. Why? Because I've got the Word of the Lord where it needs to be. It needs to be in my heart. Hey, it's a good thing to memorize it in your head. It's a good thing to be able to quote Scripture. Now, I say something like that, and speaking to a crowd of adults, preacher, I just can't remember. Yeah, you can. I used to say to kids, you can remember everything. Not so. I've got kids now in school in fifth, sixth grade, don't even know their zip code. I go, man, where y'all been, you know? What's going on with you? Got kids in the fourth grade, can't tie their shoe. What have you been doing? You got parents. Have you got them rented out or what? Hey, the Word of the Lord, it ought to be put in us, okay? We can remember this book. The great thing about the King James Bible, it's the easiest book to memorize. Easiest book to memorize. You say, well, I just can't do it. Well, make up a tune and sing it. Sing it. It's so much easier to memorize stuff you sing, all right? If you have to, do it that way. But the King James Bible's got a cadence. It's got a flow that lends itself to memory. Memorize the Word of God. You talk to people today, they've memorized the batting average of every player in the major league. You talk to fantasy football people and they can give you the stats on every major player in the NFL. But you can't memorize the Bible? Maybe we need a fantasy league, all right? I don't know. Maybe we do something, you know. We can't memorize the Word of God. We can memorize this book. Get it there. It'll help you, all right? It'll help you. We'll keep you warm. Hey, it's true. It's a saying. I heard it many, many years ago. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Boy, if we'll get it in our head and get it in our heart, oh, my soul, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Not only should it be in our head and our heart, but it ought to be in our hand. It ought to be in our hand. You said, what do you mean? Well, I mean you ought to bring it to church. You ought to bring it to church. We live in a time now where the mega churches, they've got it, and they put it on a screen up front. You don't need to bring your Bible. No, that's not really true. The reason they put it on screen, because everybody there's got a different version. And if they had everybody, if we're going to have a responsive reading of the Word of God, it'd be the biggest mess you ever heard in your life. All right? I mean, you'd say, well, what are you reading from, man? Is that the Bible? What do you got? You know? Hey, but it ought to be in your hand. You'll bring it to church with you. Or to bring it to church. I said to you Sunday school teachers, encourage your kids to bring it to church. I'm going to say it again. Encourage the people in your class to bring it to church. We're to bring our Bibles to church. We're to bring our Bibles to church. And now, if you've got it on your phone, fine. Fine. I'm not going to berate you. However, I would appreciate you sitting next to somebody that will keep you accountable. So you're not surfing the internet while I'm preaching, all right? Or while somebody else is preaching. Somebody that's sitting next to you says, the Bible app, and that's the only one. Don't be somewhere else. Hey, that book, we ought to keep it in our hand. Keep it in our hand. Hey, you ought to bring it to church with, just keep an eye on the preacher. Keep an eye on the preacher. And bring it with you. When he says turn, turn. When he quotes a verse, turn over there and see if he's quoting it right. Just keep an eye on him. I've listened to some guys on the radio and television, and they would quote half a verse, and the half they left off is the part that overwrote what they just said. They quit at a very opportune place for their doctrine. Very opportune place for their doctrine. Hey, listen. You ought to know your Bible, all right? Keep it in your hand. Keep it in your hand. Keep it with you. It ought to be in your hand. Take it to church. It ought to be in your hand when you're at home, because it ought to be opening it and reading it. Reading it. The best thing you can do for your Bible, said this just a couple of weeks ago, the best thing you can do is open your Bible, keep it open, because the oil off your hands will keep that leather in good shape. It'll keep that leather in good shape. The best thing you can do, keep it in your hand, all right? Open it up. Read it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it in your hand. Take advantage of it. It ought to be in your hand. It ought to be in your hand as you take it to church. It ought to be in your hand at home as you read it. It ought to be in your hand as you show somebody, here's what the Bible says. As you witness to somebody, here's what the Bible says. This is it. This is it. Here's the Word of God. You can trust it. And here's what I got to say. You don't have to believe me, but you need to believe the Bible. You need to believe the Bible. Man, know your Bible. Where you got Bible verses, you can show people. So you can tell them, here's what I believe. Here's why I believe what I believe. When the Jehovah's Witness come by. Now, if you can't take them on scripturally, just send them on their way, all right? But if you know a little bit of Bible, then show them, all right? And if you know a little bit of Bible, deal with it. But if you can't, just move them on, all right? Move them on. Because they can twist this book better than you can imagine. That Mormon crowd, they can twist this book. They can twist this book. Hey, they need to. This is the book. It needs to be in your hand as you witness to people. Witness to people. Show them what the Scripture says. Now, I've witnessed to people when I didn't, and I couldn't open it, and I just quoted the Scripture to them. I quoted to them. You said, why didn't you show them? I didn't think they'd let me open the Bible. I could already tell from the way they were wanting me to move along, and I didn't want to move along because I'd gave them the Word of God. And I thought, well, if I say, would you mind if I opened the Bible? They say, well, could you come back another time? So I just said, hey, you know the Bible says. Just give them the Bible. Now, that's because you got it in your heart and your head. You can do that. But the best thing, if you got it in your hand, you can show it to somebody. You can show them the Word of God. You ought to keep this book in your hand, all right? It ought to be there. You ought to believe it. You ought to keep it in your hand without a shadow of a doubt. Then go with me, Will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. And I'll be honest, you're going to pass out, but this is it. I'm done after I get here, all right? We get through here, and I don't know how long it'll take here, but when we get through here, we're done, all right? But you say, where's the Bible? Where is the Word of the Lord? Where is the Word of the Lord? Somebody asks you that, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? Here's what Paul said about the Word of the Lord, all right? He said in verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Ye are our epistle. Ye are our epistle. Where's the Word? Where's the Word? It's on display in my life. It's on display in my life. The Bible says other people read the Bible in your life. They read it in you. Look, the people in your neighborhood know you go to church. Even if you've never said a word to them, they know you go to church. You disappear on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. You disappear on Sunday night. This crowd here, you disappear on Wednesday night. And you're not going to Billy Bob's because you're not dressed for Billy Bob's. I hope, going to church, you're not, all right? You can't dress right any other time, nor dress right coming to church. I like the idea of church clothes. I still believe we dress up to go to church, all right? Still believe we put on some church clothes. If you don't have some, go get some, all right? You say, well, I don't have anything, then wear the best you've got. Wear the best. Why? Coming to the house of God. Now, don't get mad at me preaching that. Don't leave here and say, I ain't come back. I don't have a suit. I didn't say that, did I? But I tell you this, I believe we'll dress up when we go to church. I believe we ought to dress up when we go to church. Have you ever seen pictures from back in the 40s? You ever seen pictures from back in the 40s? Maybe the 50s? You see pictures in the 40s and the 50s, and you see people, just a street scene, people walking along. Men are dressed in suits. Ladies are dressed in nice dresses. Man, they look sharp. And they're just going downtown to the store. You see pictures of baseball, the stands in the baseball world, and men are dressed in a suit in the baseball stands, all right? I guess today they don't want to get hot dog juice on them, all right? So we wear pretty much anything or nearly nothing in some cases. Hey, it's amazing. Now, I'm not really sure how I got on to that, okay? But you ought to dress up when you come to church, all right? Hey, well, wait a minute. Here you are. We put the Word of God on display in our life. It's on display in our life. The people read our life. They won't read your Bible, but they'll read your life. They'll read your life. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. You get out in the backyard, you husbands and wives, and you get to arguing, fussing, sometimes cussing. Hey, your neighbor across the fence reading your life. Your neighbor across the fence reading your life. What a shame. What a shame. They ought to read something there that is just perfect, all right? Hey, now, I'm not talking about when I ask what are they reading in your life, I'm not talking about when you come to church. Because it's amazing how pious people can be in church. And you ask them a question in church and they have got the right answer. Because they're in church and they're thinking churchy. But you get them outside the church, and somebody asks them, now somebody, not the preacher, the preacher asks, oh, they've got the right answer. But Fred over here, or Tom, the neighbor, the guy two houses down the street, he asks, and they don't give that churchy answer. but should. Your life ought to display this book. Where is the word of the Lord? Take a look. You can look at me. You're going to see it in action. See it in action. You're going to see somebody being kind. You're going to see somebody that's praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. You know, man, how often do we do that? Just out in the regular day. Praising the Lord. Oh, we talk about everything under the sun, you know. But it ought to come from us, within us, okay? If you're at home, if you're in school, if you're on the job, if you're in the store, if you're wherever you go, when you're glad, when you're sad, and even when you're mad, you ought to display this book. This book. Where's the word of the Lord? It's right here in my life. You can see it. You want to see the word of the Lord? Here it is. I put it on display for you. And hey, not as an act. You can sneak up on me and find it on display. Hey, if you wanted to, now it's not advisable that you do it, but you ought to be able to see it if they're peeping in your window, okay? Now, I know they shouldn't be peeping in your window, but you do understand what I mean when I say that, okay? This book, where's the word of the Lord? It's in my life. It's in the way I live. I live the way I live because of what this book says. I say the things I say because of what this book says. I sing the songs I sing because of what this book says. Hey, we ought to have a song on our lips. We ought to have a song on our lips. I cannot even give you the words of a song from the world from the last probably 15 years. The ones that come to mind are years and years old, all right? And I just heard a little blurb, and I heard it enough that it stuck there. But man, what the world ought to hear from us, our singing, our humming. If somebody asks, hey, what's that song you're humming? I've had them ask me at the grocery store. I didn't even realize I was humming. Then I say, well, that's the devil went down to Georgia. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. Okay? I found myself humming all kinds of things, you know, just different songs and that are there. Hey, this word of the Lord, where is it? It's in my head. It's in my head. It's in my heart. It's in my hand. It's on display in my life. That's where it's at. Hey, if you've got it stuck on the shelf, get it off the shelf. Get it off the shelf. It ought to be with you. It ought to be in you. It ought to be in you. Doing a work that only it can do. Where's the word of the Lord? The world ought not to have to ask you and me that. They may not like the fundamental Baptist stand, but they ought to see the word of the Lord in our stand. They ought to see it in our life. It ought to be on display. Now, they may ask mockingly, where is the word of the Lord? You say, hey, well, I got a copy of it right here. You want me to read it to you? You want me to read it to you? Where is the word of the Lord tonight? Is it on display in your life? You got it in your head? Have you memorized it? You got it in your heart? Does it make a difference in the way you live? Make a difference in the way you conduct yourself around other people? Hey, is it on display in your life? Well, if it's not, it ought to be. It ought to be. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize this book's so important. It is not a book to be kept at home. It's not a book just to be stuck on a shelf. Lord, it's not a book that we're to have and we're to say, man, isn't my copy a beautiful copy? Look at it. Boy, that's genuine, you know, just the best leather you can get. And no, it's not to be because of that. But this book, Lord, ought to be in us. And Lord, it ought to be in our head and our heart. And Lord, we ought to keep it in our hand. We ought to bring it to church. We ought to read it. We ought to have it in our hand ready to share it with somebody else, to show them from the Bible the way to heaven. And Lord, show them the answer to their problems. Help us, Lord, to know where that book is. And Lord, help us to keep it on display in our life. And Lord, if we need to get some things right about it tonight, help us to do it in the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you